The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to your Valentine's Views podcast for Friday, December 23rd. Your New York Giants play the Minnesota Vikings on Saturday afternoon in week 16, a Christmas Eve special for Giants fans. Game where if everything works out perfectly for your New York Giants, if they are able to upset the Minnesota Vikings, and if two of the three teams between the Commanders, Seahawks, and Lions lose games over the weekend, then the Giants will clinch a playoff spot for the first time since 2016. Not that we think all of those things will happen this weekend, but you can always cross your fingers and hope for a nice Christmas present. Anyway, here to help me break down Saturday's game is Christopher Gates of SB Nation's Daily Norseman. Chris, how are you? Thank you very, very much for hopping on.
I'm doing all right, Ed. Happy to be here with you and your listeners. And yeah, looking forward to what should be a relatively interesting game on Saturday afternoon.
Listen, we have one favor to ask, though. Before we get deep into this, one favor to ask.
No problem.
The Vikings have already clinched the NFC North. You guys, You guys have done what you need to do already. Can we just borrow Justin Jefferson for the day so that, I mean, it'd be nice for Daniel Jones to play with a real wide receiver once. Can we just borrow Jefferson for the afternoon?
I think not only the fans in Minnesota would have an issue with that. I think Justin Jefferson would have an issue with that, quite frankly. But no, I mean, it would be something. I mean, yeah, the Giants are a little thin at the wide receiver spot. I've seen that, but yeah, hopefully, I don't think Justin Jefferson's going to be wearing blue on Saturday. So,
I'm just being lighthearted. Obviously, mm-hmm. Jefferson, of course, going to be a handful for the New York Giants, who since the heyday of Odell Beckham Jr., They've been looking for a playmaking wide receiver, and Jefferson, of course, is the embodiment of what the Giants don't have on their offense. He'll be a handful on Saturday. And just let me start with this: has anyone? I mean, he leads the league in receptions, in yards receiving and yards receiving per game. He leads the league in just about everything. Mm-hmm. Has anyone had success with him? And if so, how?
There's been a couple of games where he's had not put up great numbers. The first time we played Detroit, they held him to a career worst 3 catches for 14 yards. The week before that against Philadelphia, he didn't do super great. I can't remember his numbers off the top of my head. Nobody played good for Minnesota against Dallas, so I really can't use that as an example, but he's gone over 125 yards at least, I believe, 7 times this year in 14 games. So he's tough for a lot of folks to slow down. And you know, if teams have corners like we saw Stephon Gilmore matched up with Jefferson quite a bit the other day, and he still got 123 yards. And so yeah, it's tough for any defense to handle him. It's just kind of hoping him and Kirk Cousins have an off game, and you know that Cousins starts looking at other targets first.
There you go. That would be nice too. Just you know, Justin Jefferson freeze out game. Just give everybody else a chance. That would be fun. No, let me ask you this: you guys have a new head coach this year in Kevin O'Connell. Obviously, had Mike Zimmer at the controls for a long time, you know, prior to this year. What were the expectations for the Vikings entering the season?
I think people expected the Vikings to be a playoff contender. I know we did our pieces with Football Outsiders, and they expected kind of a new coach bounce from Kevin O'Connell, just because, you know, he would make better use of the offensive personnel that he has available than Zimmer did. And more than anything, I think O'Connell has really brought a culture shift to this team. The last couple years of the Zimmer era just kind of felt like there was a cloud over the Vikings for whatever reason, and they were just completely unable to overcome any sort of adversity. Like, they'd get one bad penalty or something like that, and it would snowball, and everything would just go to crap almost straight away, and they couldn't overcome it. But with O'Connell here, on the other hand, they believe that, and they understand that things don't have to be perfect all the time for them to win. And that's something that's huge compared to what we saw toward the end of the Mike Zimmer era, because everyone was so afraid to make mistakes. They were thinking too much and not just, you know, playing football the way they had been taught all these years. So I think more than anything, the culture that Kevin O'Connell has brought to Minnesota, kind of erased the end of the Mike Zimmer era, has been the most important thing.
Yeah, let me tell a quick Kevin O'Connell story, a Kevin O'Connell, Brian Daboll story, actually. Daboll was talking to the media the other day, and he said that when he was an assistant coach with the New England Patriots, when O'Connell was still a player, that he actually worked out O'Connell. So, wow. Which, yeah, he actually worked him out as part of the draft process for the Patriots. So they have a little bit of a connection going back a few years. It's kind of interesting with both of these teams, first year coaches both having success in different ways a little bit. But let me ask you this: Vikings are 11-3, and yet I look at that point differential for Minnesota, and they're plus two. Yeah. And I'm looking at plus two, and I'm looking at the Giants for also. I mean, the Giants are 8-5-1 with a point differential of, I think, -25, thanks to getting blown out by the Eagles a couple of weeks ago, yep. Which is the game of the year that we're not going to talk about at all. but really, my question, I guess, is, at 11-3 with that point differential, I mean, how do you explain, you know, winning 11 games at this point? And really, when you look at it, are the Vikings actually as good as their record would indicate?
I mean, it's kind of the same thing with us that you were just talking about with the lopsided losses. I mean, the three losses the Vikings have had this year, they lost to Philadelphia by 17 points. They lost to Dallas by 37, which I still don't completely fully understand, but it happened. And they lost to Detroit by 11. And if you look at their 11 wins, 10 of those wins have been one-score games. The only win that wasn't a one-score game happened back in week one when they beat Green Bay by 16. But other than that, it's all been one-score victories. But, I mean, if you look at – we talk about point differential. If you look at the Vikings in the fourth quarter – In the fourth quarter, they're plus 66 compared to the other three quarters. So when things tighten up in late game situations and guys need to make plays and defense needs to make stops, that's what the Vikings have been doing. And that's why they get these one score wins. They had the comeback against Buffalo, the comeback against Indianapolis. They've held off Washington and some other teams toward the end of games, the Jets, the Patriots, and so forth. But yeah, those lopsided losses kind of skew things the way they have for the Giants, as you mentioned. So, I mean, like I said, Kevin O'Connell has this team believing in themselves. They don't really think they're ever out of any game. We saw that this past Saturday. And yeah, as long as the offense keeps scoring points in the fourth quarter, the defense keeps getting stops. Every week, all these really smart football people say that this isn't sustainable, and then the Vikings just keep going out and doing the same thing over and over again. So maybe it is sustainable. I don't know. It doesn't seem like something that would be sustainable, but it has been so far. And I really don't have a great explanation other than, you know, the three losses we've had have all been by double figures, and the 10 out of the 11 wins we've had have all been by one score. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of people say about the Giants that the fact that they're winning without really, I think they're last in the league in explosive plays and all of that. I think there's the same sort of it's not sustainable belief, but it's worked well enough so far. I wanted to ask you the game last weekend, Colts game. I just wanted to ask you, you're sitting there watching the game, and what was your mood at halftime?
It was not pleasant. I mean, you go out there, you see the Colts are coming into the game with the record of, I think it was 4-8-1. They were 4-9. Yeah, 4-9-1 after the game. And you're like, okay, maybe this is the game where this team can actually kind of jump out and get a lead and kind of win a little more comfortably. But no, they decided they didn't want to do that. They they give up 33 points in the first half. And, you know, when Kirk Cousins threw that pick six to make it 30-0, and then they tacked on a field goal at the end. But yeah, once that happened, we were just kind of like, I think I literally said on social media that we're obligated to watch this game, but I don't know how anyone else is doing it. We're watching it because we have to. And, you know, to the credit of most of the folks at US Bank Stadium, I think very few people actually left. And, you know, they could have left at halftime and tried to beat the traffic or whatever, but I think the majority of folks stayed the entire time, which is a testament to them. But yeah, at halftime, it was not great. It was not great, I can tell you.
I'm just curious, you know, you like you said, you're sitting there watching the second half and you're sitting there doing that thinking, I'm only doing this because I have to. I have other things that need to, I have other things that need to get done. Mm-hmm. But when did it start to get interesting?
They got it to 36-14 after the CJ Ham touchdown. And you're kind of thinking to yourself, well, you know, the Colts really haven't done much offensively this second half. They managed the one field goal, and that's kind of been it. They're starting to get to Matt Ryan.
They're the Colts.
Yeah, they're, and like you said, it is Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan was the architect of 28-3 in the Super Bowl a few years ago, and now he's the he's the architect of 33-0 at the regular season level. And you know, but I think when we got to 36-14, we were like, you know, we still got like a quarter and a little bit left to go here. And the offense is really starting to move the ball a little bit. They can keep getting stuff because, you know, one of the things that came out of this was Patrick Peterson apparently went up to Kirk Cousins at halftime in the locker room and said, man, all you need to do is get us 5 touchdowns. And, like, and Kirk Cousins thought he was screwing around, like he was messing with him or whatever. But he was like, oh, yeah. And then they went out and did it. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. But, yeah.
Crazy, crazy stuff happens in the NFL every week, and that's one of the craziest things I've seen in quite a while.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I'm curious if you can tell us, you know, the Vikings are not a team that Giants fans focus on, you know, quite a bit on a regular basis. You know, we know about Justin Jefferson. We know about Kirk Cousins. We know about Adam Thielen. We know some of those guys. But, I mean, just who are some of the guys that we might not know about, who we probably should know about when we look at the Vikings?
One of the guys to keep an eye on, I'll try to do one on each side of the ball here. But one of the guys offensively is the guy that kind of triggered off the rally against Indianapolis, and that's our third wide receiver in KJ Osborne. This is his third year in the league. his rookie year. They just had him return punts and he was a disaster. But last year he's really turned into a productive third wide receiver. He had a big catch, like I said, to start things off against Indianapolis in the third quarter. He had a big 63-yard catch. And, he had his first 100-yard receiving game against Indy. I think he might have gone over 150. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But, he's somebody where, you know, if you want to try to take away Jefferson and take away Thielen, he's somebody that Kirk Cousins, I think, has really gotten a bit of a rapport with and knows that he can turn to when the other options aren't there. Defensively, one guy to keep an eye on is safety Cameron Bynum. I mean, a lot of folks know Harrison Smith at the one safety spot, and the other safety spot was supposed to be filled by Lewis Seen, the rookie out of Georgia, but unfortunately he broke his leg during the London game back in week 4. And, Bynum got a couple of starts last year, and now he's the full-time guy next to Smith, and he has a knack for being around the ball and making plays as well. He's not afraid to get dirty and run support, but he's definitely a guy that Giants fans probably don't know that that could have potentially quite an impact on Saturday's game here.
Cool. We know, you know, the Minnesota offense can put up a whole bunch of points. The mm-hmm. Giants, if the Giants are going to have a chance on Saturday, they're going to have to slow that Minnesota offense a little bit. The Giants haven't scored 30 points in a game all season. So I guess what I want to ask you about the Minnesota defense, just what are the Giants up against? What are we looking at, you know, from this Minnesota defense?
Well, the run defense has gotten a whole lot better than it was earlier in the season, thanks to guys like Harrison Phillips. A guy that Giants fans are familiar with, and Dalvin Tomlinson. Tomlinson missed 4 games earlier this season with a leg injury, but he's back, and he's been having a heck of a season so far. And, you know, those guys helping on the interior has helped to solidify the run defense a little bit. The pass defense is, I believe, currently 31st in the league in yards allowed, and that's even with Patrick Peterson kind of rediscovering the fountain of youth over the course of this season. They've had a lot of injuries to deal with at cornerback. They've lost Andrew Booth Jr. Rookie Caleb Evans is on injured reserve, so he's not going to be available. They kind of had a rotating door across from Peterson at the other quarterback cornerback spot, and Cameron Dantzler might be out on Saturday as well, so that would just present even more problems. But the way to beat this Vikings defense, I think, is definitely through the air, especially given that for reasons I don't understand, a defense with Za'Darius Smith and Danielle Hunter on it should not go for the kinds of stretches the Vikings defense goes for without getting pressure on quarterbacks. I mean, they've let so many quarterbacks like Mac Jones, Mike White, other quarterbacks just light them up for huge yardage for whatever reason. They just don't get any pressure on them. Now, during the Indy game, we saw the defense start to blitz a little more and that sort of thing. And I don't know if that's the sort of thing they can get away with against the Giants, but with the way the roster is currently constructed, that's probably more the way they need to play, with more man coverage, more pressing and stuff like that. So if the Giants are going to get points and move the ball against this Minnesota defense, I think it's pretty, as good as Saquon Barkley is, it's probably going to have to be mostly through the air.
That's been the anti-Giants approach so far this year. They've been run first, and with the wide receiver issues that they've had, and the fact that I think they only have one really reliable tight end, they've been run first. They've been pass the ball quickly, pass it short, kind of throw it when they want to throw it. So maybe we'll get to see Daniel Jones open things up a little bit on Saturday. That might be kind of fun. But let me ask you about your own quarterback, about mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins. You know, he's been a guy that, you know, some people love the guy, some people hate the guy, some people have thought he's a really good quarterback over the years, some people have said, well, he's a guy that you win, that you can win with and maybe not because of. Where are Minnesota fans these days on Kirk Cousins, just in terms of how far you guys think he can take this team?
I think things with the Minnesota fan base are a lot more positive toward Kirk Cousins than they used to be. I mean, when he first signed here in 2018, he got the big guaranteed contract or whatever, and the Vikings had some guys at quarterback. They had Case Keenum that had been on the roster and led them through that kind of crazy 2017 season. They had Teddy Bridgewater, who had that horrific leg injury in 2016 and played out his rookie contract with Minnesota. And they let both of those guys go, and the fans love both of those guys. And there were a lot of those fans that were kind of iffy about Kirk Cousins. And then the first year Cousins was here, they went 8-8. They had a winning get-in game against Chicago in week 17, and the Bears weren't playing for anything, and they came into U.S. Bank Stadium and beat Minnesota anyway, and Cousins was awful. So they, I think folks kind of turned against Cousins a little bit. But, you know, this season with the way he's played in close and late-game situations and been able to bring the team back, I think the tide is starting to turn kind of more in his favor with Vikings fans. I've always said that Kirk Cousins is basically a top 10-ish quarterback. I mean, he's not Mahomes. He's not Josh Allen. He's not, in that class. And I don't think anyone's ever going to say that he is. But I think he's definitely the next level down from that. I think most weeks he's one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the league. He has the occasional game where he's awful, like a lot of quarterbacks have. But, you know, I think most weeks Cousins is the sort of guy that, you know, can win you football games. And I think people are starting to see that. He's got 7 fourth quarter comebacks just this season, which I don't know how that compared to the total for the rest of his career. But yeah, he's got 7 this season alone. And I think that's starting to get him a little more respect within the fan base and that sort of thing.
And the last thing for you, Chris, is how do you see Saturday unfolding?
Well, if it's been like every other Vikings game this year, the Vikings are going to start out fast, and then both sides of the ball are going to kind of take a nap for a quarter and a half or two quarters. And most Vikings games, you can safely turn the TV off from the second to the third quarter, and then just turn things back on for the fourth quarter when things get crazy. Because, like I said, that's what happens every week. It doesn't matter what the score is going into the fourth quarter. It's going to be interesting at the end. And I think it's going to be interesting at the end here again, too. The Giants are a solid team. They play good defense. Kayvon Thibodeau is going to be just a handful to have to deal with, even with the offensive tackles Minnesota has. But, I think it's going to be a solid game. I do think the Vikings are going to find a way to pull it out. It'll probably be another one-score game, just like we've seen all season so far, and we'll have to see how that plays out. But I think it's going to be a pretty interesting ball game on Saturday.
Yeah, most Giants games work out that way anyway. So, probably be a nail biter. Probably get decided in the last half of the fourth quarter. Anyway, Chris, appreciate your hopping on. Giants fans, check out Daily Norseman for the Vikings perspective leading up to Saturday's game. And please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio wherever you listen to podcasts, or like and subscribe on YouTube as well. Thank you, as always, for listening. Stay safe out there. Take care of each other. Have a great Christmas holiday, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.